all day. Good morning, everyone. We are at the first miracle of the seven that we're studying in John's Gospel. And it's not an easy miracle. If you don't mind, I just want to read it one more time just so it's fresh in our minds. John 4:43, "Now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. So they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum, 20 kilometers away. When he had heard that Jesus had come to Judea and Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour when he had got better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same time, at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judah of Galilee." I said first miracle, right? Second miracle, I'm sorry. It's a difficult passage. It's a difficult miracle. It's missing something. It's missing a few words that we find in the narration of other healings, right? Lord, when the people come to Jesus, oftentimes we say, Lord, or compassion. Jesus had compassion. Or faith. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Or peace. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Right? There's nothing like that in here. And Jesus' response to the man, it's a rebuke. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. It's a very different miracle, and you kind of wonder why John actually even put it in there. If it's, you know, it just doesn't really seem to glorify Jesus or have that same oomph behind a lot of the other miracle narrations. So why did John put this in here? Why this miracle? So that's why we're here, to try to unpack this, to try to understand. So I think the first thing we need to do is try to understand why Jesus healed. Or why he did these miracles. And of course, I think most of all here, the first thing we say is compassion, right? He had compassion on the people. Sincere sympathy with the physical suffering, right? Jesus did not like to see the physical suffering, so he healed them. But I think it goes beyond that. In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness." And he created man and woman, and he blessed them. And God saw that it was very good. We read in Psalm 8, if I may turn there. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that man is the image and the glory of God. Ask yourself, do you feel as if you reflect the glory of God? Maybe sometimes, right? But not always. Somebody rubs us backwards and we respond quickly out of anger. Or maybe we're judgmental. Or perhaps we're listening to music or watching videos and movies that perhaps you know, that aren't exactly godly that we shouldn't be watching? Are we glorifying God? You know, or if you're at the gym with your wife and you're working out and there's all these younger women walking by in spandex pants and these like tank tops and you got your eyes closed and you're frowning and you're working out and people are saying, look at that guy, he's training hard, but really you're praying? You're going to let the Lord forgive me for I'm a sinner? I think I'll keep one eye open from now on because I think next time I'm going to get a pop from Cynthia. God's glory. We have fallen from the glory that God has given to us at the beginning, haven't we? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus came, right? To restore man's glory. Right? That's the grace of Jesus. That though he was rich in glory, he became poor. He took on man's glory, or the lack of man's glory upon him. That we, through his poverty, might become rich. That we might have the glory that he gave to us at the beginning. So Jesus wants to restore that glory. So his miracle, as I see, is Jesus wanting to restore man's glory, but to the extent that he can, outside the working of the cross. It's the compassion that Jesus has on the people. When he sees them suffering, he sees them in this state, and this is not how I created you. This is not how you were meant to be. I want to restore your glory. But first I must be baptized with a baptism of death. But for now, I can heal your physical suffering. Another reason Jesus healed. Revelation. To reveal to people who he was, who he is, and why he came. It's not a looking for fame that a lot of people would think, even his own brothers. We read in John 7, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Listen to this. For he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea. Did you catch that? He did not want to walk into Judea because the Jews wanted to kill him, and his brothers are saying, depart from here and go to Judea. Kind of get the idea that perhaps his brothers might want him. I know. Do they want him dead? Are they as bad offended of him? It makes you wonder about, you know, James and his brothers Joseph and Judas and Simon, what they thought on that day when he was arrested. And they had all these ill feelings towards him. And then, like, the reality's coming. You know, Yeshua has been arrested. They've taken him before Pilate. And then they hear that he's going to be crucified. And then they see him. And all these thoughts they had about him. Were they guilty? Were they happy this happened? But then we read, Paul tells us that the resurrected Jesus appeared to Peter and to the 12 and to multitude, and then he appeared to James. Could you imagine how James felt with these ill feelings he had towards his brother, and now here he is resurrected before him, and now realizing that he is the Christ? His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. So this is what his brothers are thinking. All right, if you want to be popular, if you want people to see you, go to Judea, show yourself to the world. But we read, especially in the beginning of Mark, that wasn't Jesus' intention, right? Jesus wanted to go into the cities and teach in the synagogues. In the one Sabbath in the evening after the sun had set, they brought multitudes to him to be healed. The next morning, Jesus got up, went out into a solitude place by himself to pray, and they came looking for him. Peter said, the multitudes are looking for you. Like, Jesus, come, heal some more. And Jesus said, let's go to the next city to preach, for this is the reason I came. But the next day, he's teaching in the synagogue and he cast out a demon. And all the crowds came to him. And then to the point where he could no longer teach, not only in the synagogue, but he couldn't even teach in the city anymore. And Jesus was out teaching in the deserted places. But I think Jesus would have preferred to teach in the synagogues. That's the way the rabbis did it, right? That's the way the rabbis gathered disciples to themselves. So Jesus wasn't looking for fortune and fame, but he came to reveal himself as the one sent from God. A wonderful example of that, of course, is Moses. We read in some verses from Exodus chapter 3, just to reflect on that. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up to the land to a good and large land, land flowing with milk and honey. Now therefore, come now therefore, and I will send you, Moses, to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt, that you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, that they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. So he cast it to the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So we see that God has given Moses signs to do, that the people may know that he is sent from God, and that God has sent Moses to deliver them. So this is another reason why Jesus does signs and wonders and heals, so that they may see that he is the one sent from God. That he is the one sent to deliver the people from bondage, from Pharaoh, from Egypt, from Satan, and from sin. Excuse me. So we see this a lot, actually, in Jesus' ministry, right? Where he's proclaiming to the people, or that his signs proclaim to the people that he is the coming one sent from God, right? John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus and asks him, are you the coming one? Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? So Jesus answered and said to him, go and tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So we see Jesus saying that these signs that I'm doing, they proclaim that I am the coming one, sent from God. The fourfold witness. Jesus says, John the Baptist, the scripture, the Father, and the works that I do, they proclaim, they're a witness to me that I'm sent from God. And Jesus tells the Pharisees, if you do not believe me, but believe the works that I do, because they proclaim that I and the Father are one. And Jesus' works proclaim message. Sorry, this thing's twisting on my ear. And Jesus works. His signs and his wonders, you know, they declare the purpose that he came. I should just keep this Bible in my hand, right? Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover sight to the blind. He has set a liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable day, year of the Lord. So Jesus, his signs and his wonders, his healing, proclaiming that he is the one sent from God and he is the one to come to deliver God's people. But Jesus' works, his signs and wonders, also reveal the hearts of the people around him, the multitudes, right? We see this in the reactions of the people to Jesus' healings, to his works and his wonders. You know, when he walked on the water, his disciples said, "Surely you are the Son of God, the Christ." And many glorified God in Israel. And think of Nicodemus, said, "We know that you're a man sent from God, because no one can do these signs unless God is with him." But then some question Jesus, right? Could this be the Christ? When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these? So they're wondering, you know, this guy's doing a lot of miracles, but when the Christ comes, will he do more? Or is this him? They're not sure. And of course, there's the reaction of those who wanted to kill him for his signs, mainly because he did them on the Sabbath. They wanted to destroy him. So Jesus works proclaiming that he was sent from God, proclaiming the reason he came to deliver and to reveal man's hearts. And not only his works, but his words revealed man's heart. One example of that is that the rich man. So the rich man comes to Jesus and says, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep the commandments. Which ones? So Jesus rhymes off a bunch of commandments. And the rich man says, all these I have done from my youth. What do I lack? And we all know the answer, right? Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, so Jesus is saying, you know, if you want eternal life, you've got to be perfect. So if you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have and come follow me. What's Jesus do here? He brings forth two other commandments that he hadn't brought up before. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not covet. Revealing the man's heart, right? That his money was a treasure, and that he coveted money. And the man went away, sorrowful. Jesus' words revealing the hearts of men. And another way he does it is through allusion. Jesus takes a verse out of the Old Testament, out of the Scripture, and he uses the verse to allude to another verse, to get the people who are listening to him, who know the verses, to think about that other verse. Hosanna. We were just talking about that this morning in the songs we were singing when Jesus was healing in the temple and the kids were singing, Hosanna, Hoshana, God save. Right? The Pharisees rebuked them. Do you hear what they're saying? Keep them quiet. And what's Jesus say? He quotes Psalm 8 again. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Why? Because of your enemies. That you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So the Pharisees know the Scripture. So Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. The Pharisees know the rest of the verse. It says, because of your enemies, that you may silence them. See, Jesus is revealing their hearts. That you are the enemy of God. You want to silence these children, but really these children are silencing you. It's called delusional teaching. Nowadays, the Jews call it remez. Another wonderful illustration of Jesus doing this, even without using words, is when he's in the temple and they bring the adulteress to him. I'm not going to talk too much about this because one of our brothers will be preaching on this in about a month's time. But they bring the adulteress before Jesus, right? And everybody there and say, we caught her in adultery, in this very act. Moses in the law says that she should be stoned, that she should be killed. What do you say? What do you say? You, who's you? Jesus. Jesus is the author of the law. If the law says that she should be stoned, well, Jesus said that she should be stoned. Another thing Jesus would say was, where's the adulterer? Because the law also says that he should be punished too. But Jesus doesn't say anything. What's he do? Closes down and starts writing in the dust. What's Jesus doing? He's alluding to Scripture. Which one? I'm not telling you. That's your homework. But you see the reaction. He writes in the dust and they keep questioning him. They're not getting him. Then Jesus says something. Then he crouches, writes in the dust again. And it's interesting, you see, that it's the oldest from the youngest drop the stones and walk away. The oldest know the Scripture, right? They're watching Jesus, and he's writing in the dust, and they're watching him, and they're like, oh, and they drop their stones, because they get it. And the young ones are in the back there with the rocks. Where are you guys going? What are you doing? And the older ones say, he's writing in the dust. So, Jeremiah, you idiot. Jeremiah, it's in the dust. Oh. And they walk away. Jesus, revealing to them their hearts, alluding to other Scripture, the signs and the wonders that Jesus did. So Jesus, through his signs and wonders, reveals that he is sent from God, reveals the purpose that he came to deliver his people and to reveal to people their hearts, the intents of their heart, the goodness of their heart and the evil of their heart. So now, how do we apply this to our Scripture? When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him, come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus rebukes him. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Sir, come down and heal my child before my child dies. Go your way, your son lives. Let's compare this to some of the other miracles, right? The centurion, beautiful, right? He sends his servant and says, my servant, he's at home, lying in bed, paralyzed, tormented. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. No, don't come. I'm not worthy for you to come down and to be under my roof. For I too am a man of authority. But also, I also have soldiers underneath me. I say to one, come, and he comes, and to the one, go, and he goes, and I have servants. And I say, do this, and he does this. And Jesus is like, wow, he marveled. Jesus marveled. It's just a wonderful surprise that the Father sent to the Son. And Jesus is like, this guy gets it. This guy recognizes who I am, that I am under authority, that there is one above me who sent me, but he has given me authority to do things. And he understands the authority that I have, that I can heal his servants just with a word. I don't have to go there. I don't have to touch him, lay hands on him. I can do it from here. This guy gets it. And what's Jesus say? He says, I have not found this much faith in all of Israel. Go your way, for as you believe, it'll be done to you. What a wonderful miracle. What a wonderful story, right? Or the woman that comes to Jesus with the flow of blood, right? People all around, the crowds are there, and she says, if only I could just touch his garment, I will be healed. And she does it, and Jesus says, who touched me? I felt power come out from me. Who touched me? Right? And it forces her to come out and tell everybody there about her faith. And Jesus is just like, wow, in the faith. Daughter, go your way. Your faith has healed you. Or we can't forget blind Bartimaeus, right? Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. his disciples and all the crowd following him. And then Jesus is just like, did you hear that? What? Did you hear that? What? Faith. I hear faith. What? And there's, you know, blind Bartimaeus in the background. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, bring him to me, bring him to me. And they're bringing him to him, and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus is just like overjoyed with faith. What do you want me to do for you? Oh, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Done. The faith, the compassion. But then we have this miracle, this healing. The rebuke and the dryness and just, you know, just go your way, your son lives kind of thing. Where's the faith? Where's the compassion? So Jesus heals, or Jesus says to him, your son lives. But we can't say that the man didn't believe, right? Because that's why he's there, right? He had heard about Jesus. 20 kilometers away, Jesus comes to Galilee. I gotta go. I believe that this man can heal my son. I've gotta bring him home. I've gotta bring him back. Right? And then Jesus says, your son lives. And it says, the man believed. I think that's where it ended. That's where his belief ended. That's where his faith stopped. He believed that Jesus was a healer. He believed that Jesus could heal his son. He believed that with the word that Jesus could heal. But that's all he believed. So Jesus rebukes him. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. It just seems to ricochet off the nobleman, right? Sir, just come down and heal my son. So he goes his way believing. And then something happens. John doesn't tell us, the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal to us what happened, but something happened to this man while he was journeying back home. I could picture him walking back just in tears because he's believing, my son lives, my son lives, my son. What did that guy mean by that? What did he say? Why did he rebuke me like that? And he starts going over what Jesus said. Unless you people believe, you will by no means, unless you see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. He goes through and he starts thinking, that sounds like Moses. Sounds like Exodus. God sent Moses to the people to show them signs. Remember the rod turning to a serpent, back to a rod. Moses puts his hand in his bosom, brings it out, it's leprous, puts it back in, comes out, it's normal. Takes water from the river, pours it on the dry sand, and it turns to blood. These are the signs that God gave to Moses to show the Israelites, to prove to them that he was sent from God to deliver them. So I could picture this nobleman walking home thinking about this, right? This is the illusion that I was talking about. Jesus' words working in people's hearts. So this nobleman walking back, thinking about his son being healed. He's healed. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a sign. It's a sign. Maybe, just perhaps maybe, this man is sent from God to deliver us. Maybe this is the prophet that the talked about in Deuteronomy, that God will raise up a prophet like Moses and put his words in his mouth, and the people will hear him. And then his servant meets him halfway. What a surprise. So he's on his way down thinking about these things, and there in his servant. And, Yosef, what are you doing here? Your son lives. Exact words that Jesus said to him. Your son lives. And all this is just flooding into this guy's mind. So, you know, his son lives, the miracles, the signs, Moses, you know, the prophet. So I could just picture this guy getting all built up inside. When was he healed? Yesterday, at the seventh hour, that's exactly when this man said that he would be healed. And Master, it was instantly. The fever left him. He was lying in bed, he was dying. And then all of a sudden, Master, he got up. As if he was never sick. And you could see the nobleman just overwhelmed. Yosef, we have to go home. There's much I have to tell you. I have to tell everybody about this man. And what's the scripture say? The man believed. The second time John says that, that the man believed. This time, it was a deeper belief. And he went home, and it says, and his whole household believed. Where's the compassion in this story? It's full of compassion. The compassion Jesus had in healing his son. But how much more compassion did Jesus have for this nobleman by revealing to him who he was? By revealing to him through this rebuke why he has come. By revealing to him the hardness of this man's heart. That he only believed for the reason he wanted to believe. Just so his son could be healed. But the compassion of Jesus revealed to him the truth. Right? Where's the faith? It's there. The man believed. The whole household believed. Where's the peace? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful just to read into the Scriptures and let it open up to you. And the things that we think that aren't there just come jumping out of the page at us. Such a dry miracle. No, it's full of compassion. It's full of faith. It's full of peace. It's full of healing. What a wonderful miracle. What a wonderful story. What do we take home from this? Personally, you know, times in our lives perhaps where we feel, you know, God is not near to us, that He's rebuking us, we don't understand. Stop and think. Listen to what He's saying to us. And then read the Bible. And Jesus, God will reveal to us what He's trying to tell us about Himself, about His deliverance, about your heart. I think another lesson here we can take back is that we may know people who are unbelievers, who are sick, or who have family relatives who are sick. Pray for them. Pray that the Lord God would heal them. Pray that God would do a miracle in their life, and that they will see that it was a miracle come from God, and that they would believe. Believe that Jesus is the great I Am sent from God, and they will see the reason He came to deliver them, and that we pray that these people would believe and be saved. Our Father in heaven. Oh, wait, sorry. I just wanted to end with a verse out of Exodus. So Moses goes to the children of Israel, verse 27 of chapter 4. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words that the Lord had said to him and all the signs which he had commanded. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord spoke to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of all the people. And in verse 31, so the people believed, and when they had heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that He had looked upon their infirmities, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Beautiful verse, beautiful. Our Heavenly Father, we hear about Your signs and Your wonders. We hear about the reason that You've come. You've seen our afflictions, our torment, our sin. How we have fallen from Your glory, from the glory which You have given to us at the beginning. You have seen, Father, that we need healing. So You have sent Him, the I Am, Your Son, to deliver us from this bondage that Satan had us under, from the bondage of sin. And now, Lord, Father, we are free. We have this liberty through Christ Jesus. Baptized into His death, baptized into His resurrection. The power of the cross, all revealed to us, Lord Father. We rejoice and we believe because it is Your word and it is truth. In Your Son's name we pray.